The headlines this hour. The British Prime Minister Boris Johnson is facing calls for resignation as he grapples with yet another scandal over a party during COVID lockdown. The NATO chief warns of a new armed conflict in Europe as Russia says the West needs to respond to its security concerns. Also coming up in this newscast, Iran seeking the return of thousands of ancient tablets that the United States has been holding for almost a century. Well, welcome to our studios here in the capital, Tehran. This is news. Thanks for joining us. The British Prime Minister is facing fresh ire over the breach of COVID rules. The leader of the opposition Labour Party demands that Boris Johnson quit over Downing Street party during a 2020 national lockdown.
Mr. Speaker, so we've got the Prime Minister attending Downing Street parties, a clear breach of the rules. We've got the Prime Minister putting forward a series of ridiculous denials, which he knows are untrue. Yes. A clear breach of the ministerial code. That code says ministers who knowingly mislead Parliament will be expected to offer their resignation. The party's over, Prime Minister. The only question is, will the British public kick him out, will his party kick him out, or will he do the decent thing and resign?
Johnson, in response, has apologised after admitting that he also attended the party. The Premier, however, deflected the opposition's demand for his resignation. He added that he would not preempt the findings of an independent inquiry into parties at his office during lockdowns. Some in Johnson's Conservative Party have also said that he should quit if found to have broken laws that the government brought in to prevent the spread of the virus. So far, several leaked videos and emails have revealed about the parties held at Downing Street Garden, but Johnson says that he cannot comment until the senior government official concludes an internal investigation. A correspondent in London, Syed Purwaza, says Britons are not happy with Prime Minister Boris Johnson's conduct or apology over Downing Street party scandals.
It was indeed, as you say, a grueling grilling that happened in PMQs, the Prime Minister's questions today at the British Parliament. We heard Keir Starmer, the Labour leader's comments earlier, but perhaps one of the other scathing attacks came from the SNP, the Scottish National Party, Member of Parliament, Ian Blackford, who accused the Prime Minister of betraying the public trust and treating the public with contempt, and again called for his resignation, attack after attack from the Labour Party, and all along very quiet Conservative Party representatives in Parliament today. Probably an admission that the Prime Minister, what he did and the rest of the people around him was very wrong, and that raises a lot of questions about the future of this Prime Minister in power. We heard, of course, the Prime Minister apologize and say that he wished things had happened in a different manner, but a lot of people online, as we have all been following, are not accepting that apology. They're saying it's a non-apology apology, in which he basically seems to have tried to blame it on the junior staff or other people and hide behind them, not really a heartfelt apology from the Prime Minister himself.
Tensions run high between Russia and the West over Ukraine, with the NATO chief now warning about the risk of a new armed conflict in Europe. Jens Stoltenberg is warning that the Western military alliance could deploy troops to Eastern Europe if Moscow decides to use force against Ukraine. After an intense round of NATO-Russia talks in Brussels, Stoltenberg said that the differences between the two sides remain hard to bridge. He reiterated that Moscow does not have a say in Ukraine's possible future NATO membership. Separately, U.S. Deputy Foreign Secretary Wendy Sherman threatened that any Russian aggression against Ukraine would jeopardize the Nord Stream 2 gas pipeline. Meanwhile, Russia says the West needs to respond to Moscow's concerns about NATO activities near its borders. Russia has long complained that the U.S. and its Western allies in NATO are deliberately creating and escalating tensions over Ukraine. Now, our correspondent in Brussels, Jerome Hughes, explains why they are doing so.
One of the main issues here is, you know, it's about money. It's about that the EU and NATO need an enemy. And, of course, it's a very easy target that they create Russia into this enemy. And they make the point that really to justify NATO and to justify the new EU army and to justify billions of euro being spent by the EU on creating an EU army when many of those countries are also members of NATO and they're spending billions more on NATO, they need an enemy, and of course, to justify the existence of the NATO alliance, they need Russia. So really, you have to wonder about what's happening more deeper on the background of all of this. But we see a situation whereby the red line for Putin is that Ukraine cannot join NATO, because we've already seen on the Black Sea and in countries close to Russia's borders that are members of NATO, we've seen military drills, war games, building closer and closer to Russia's borders over the years. And it's provocation. And the claim is, it sounds like it's a conspiracy theory, but really it isn't. The claim is that it's all to fuel more spending on arms, more development growth of NATO, the EU army, and of course, Russia is an easy target in this regard.
90 years ago, the University of Chicago in the U.S. borrowed tens of thousands of archaeological fragments that were discovered in Iran's ancient city of Persepolis for research. However, after nearly a century, and despite many official requests and a court ruling, Washington is still refusing to return them, using a variety of pretexts. But Tehran is now resolved to get back what is its rightful possession.
These artifacts are just a few amongst the thousands of clay tablets discovered in an excavation in Iran's old city of Persepolis more than nine decades ago. Back then, American archaeologists borrowed the Persepolis collection for a period of 3 years for translation, research, and cataloging. Flash forward 90 years, and many of these ancient fragments are still at the Oriental Institute in the University of Chicago. At some points over the past decades, Washington even attempted to seize this collection of antiquities using its anti-Iran allegations. But in 2018, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled in favor of Iran's ownership of these assets. Susan Cherokchi, a legal expert with Iran's Ministry of Cultural Heritage, says it is time for these artifacts to return home.
This is the year 2022. 4 years have passed since the U.S. Supreme Court's ruling in favor of lifting the ban on these tablets. But the Persepolis tablets, the borrowed properties of the Iranian government and nation, have not returned home, except for a few of them. Still, the majority of these valuable artifacts are in the possession of the Oriental Institute, and logically, after nine decades, they need to be sent back to Iran.
She has even disclosed some parts of the correspondence taking place between Iranian and American officials in 1934, based on which the American side agrees to return the inscribed tablets at its own expense. Another article requires the Chicago University's Oriental Institute to send copies of the works, reviews, and collections to Iran's then Ministry of Instruction. Promises never fulfilled. American experts themselves stress the significance of these antiquities for studying ancient Persian history.
These tablets are one of the most important sources for us about the Achaemenid dynasty at their peak.
Abdul-Majid Arfai, a distinguished Iranian expert of ancient languages, says these tablets reveal some remarkable information about the ruling period of Darius the Great.
One of the clay tablets reveal an order by Darius the Great to an assistant to give 100 of Darius's own sheep to a woman. Decoding this tablet reveals that all of the clay manuscripts belong to the era of Darius.
Iran's ambassador to the United Nations, Majid Takhtaravanchi, says Americans are using different excuses to postpone the return of what is part of Iran's culture and history. But Iran's request is clear, that what has been loaned must return completely, orderly, and safely. At the end of the day, these antiquities are nothing but the belongings of the Iranian nation and representatives of their long history.
Iran's Minister of Roads and Urban Development, Rostam Qasemi, says the Islamic Republic will continue to support Syrian people in their fight against terrorism. Qasemi made the comment in a meeting with the Syrian President Bashar al-Assad in Damascus. He added that Iran is keen to boost ties with Syria in all fields. Assad, for his part, called for the implementation of new projects in Syria to secure the strategic interests of the two countries. The Iranian minister is in Syria on a three-day visit as the head of a high-ranking economic and trade delegation. Last month, Syria invited Iranian companies to invest in its reconstruction process. The Arab nation is recovering from the devastation caused by foreign-backed insurgency and a war that began in 2011. Syria denounces the United States over its policies towards the Arab country. Foreign Minister Faisal Miqdad says that the U.S. is not seeking democracy in this country and is just after plundering resources there.
They don't want democracy in Syria. They don't want the country to hold elections. By occupying northeastern Syria and taking control of the Rukban camp, they want to show that the Syrian people must be at the mercy of the United States. Their so-called political solution is just America's will, and if the Syrian people do not accept it, their troops will continue to occupy the northeastern region for the rich resources there.
Miqdad accused the U.S. of interfering in Syria's internal affairs and attempting to overthrow the government there. The top Syrian diplomat also criticized Washington for imposing unilateral sanctions on his country. He said that the sanctions have led to the deaths of Syrian children, women, and the elderly, and it's all for America's own purposes. Miqdad was speaking in an interview with China Central Television, CCTV. The U.S. is keeping some 900 troops in Syria, despite strong objections from Damascus that says that their presence is illegal. Syrian media say that American forces, with the help of Kurdish fighters, have built an oil refinery in Hasaka province in the northeast. Laith Maruf is a writer and researcher. He is convinced that the U.S. maintains its presence in Syria to gain its economic interests.
Well, a colonizer never ends their occupation without being defeated physically. And what we see on the ground happening right now is a buildup of resistance against American presence in Syria. For instance, last night, a sniper assassinated the spokesperson of the Kurdish Contras, known as the SDF, at Al Omar oil field. And this comes days after multiple attacks on SDF troops that are collaborating with the American occupation. And as you mentioned earlier, the Americans 2 days ago installed a refinery in northeast Syria in Hasaka and entered with a new fleet of hundreds of oil tankers that are going to be brought into commission to loot the Syrian oil.
The Yemeni army provides details of its latest military operation against Emirati-backed mercenaries in southern Syria. It says the armed forces and their allied popular committees have inflicted heavy human and material losses on the UAE-backed elements. Army spokesman Yahya Sari says the operation involving missile strikes took place in Shabwa province over the past few days. He says, as a result, 515 UAE-backed mercenaries were killed and more than 800 others injured. According to Sari, over 100 military vehicles were destroyed also. Over the past 7 years, loyalists of the former Yemeni regime have been fighting in some parts of the country against the new government and its allied Ansarullah movement. The ex-regime loyalists are backed by Saudi Arabia and the UAE, both part of a coalition which launched a war in Yemen in March 2015. Our Sana correspondent Abdul Latif al-Washali gave us more on the operation. He says the Yemeni army is very likely to launch further operations against UAE-backed mercenaries to expel them from Shabwa and other provinces.
Saudi Arabia has been escalating its operations in Mali for the past 2 years, but now we see the UAE escalating the situation in Shabwa province by bringing thousands of mercenaries to that area to fight against the Yemeni army and the popular committees. The Yemeni army managed to take down hundreds of them and injure hundreds of others. Actually, the families of these areas in Harid and Shabwa and all the areas have been fighting beside the Yemeni army against those mercenaries. They are not welcomed in that place. They know that the UAE-backed forces will break into their houses, and this has actually happened during the few past days. They broke into houses, they kidnapped tens of citizens from their homes. This is why the families of these areas are fighting beside the Yemeni army. They want to expel these foreign forces from their land. They are not welcomed. They want to stay without having any foreign powers in their area in Shabwa. The Yemeni army will absolutely take the advantage of this and fight these forces to expel them from all the territories, not only from Shabwa, but also from the Marib and other provinces. The Yemeni army will absolutely, I believe, launch further operations against UAE.
The wealthy Israeli weapons manufacturer, which produces drone parts for the Israeli regime, has sold off its factory site in Oldham after a lengthy protest campaign by pro-Palestine activists. Palestine Action is a group which claimed victory over the sale became public. Rob Carter headed up to Oldham to witness local celebrations.
Joy and jubilation was the mood in the English town of Oldham on Tuesday as Palestine Action led celebrations following the news that notorious Israeli arms manufacturer Elbit Systems had sold its site in the area. The move was announced following a high-pressure protest campaign, which Palestine Action believes is the reason for Elbit's move.
Activists in Oldham and the surrounding areas have been protesting outside this facility every week for the past 29 weeks. Combine that with the direct action taken by the Palestine Action Group, the pressure on Elbit Systems to abandon this facility has been both immense and very costly.
The site has been hit numerous times by volunteers who have blocked entrances, sprayed blood red paint, and damaged business property, allegedly costing Elbit millions.
We will continue doing this everywhere there's an Elbit Systems, everywhere there's a company that's complicit with the Israeli apartheid regime, and we will continue and do everything we can from here in England and Wales and Scotland, where the Balfour Declaration was declared, which caused the problems that are now stemmed, that are in occupied Palestine, and we will continue taking action, escalating our actions until Palestine is free.
Officially, Elbit hasn't confirmed their reason for abandoning the site, claiming that their sale was part of a restructuring strategy. Press TV did attempt to contact Elbit for clarification, but they refused to respond. Whatever the reason, locals are thrilled and consider this a win for Palestine. Robert Carter, Oldham.
And that does it for this edition of World News. Bye-bye for now.
Is there any other way to get familiar with Islam besides mainstream media? Try IRIB English Radio.
Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
This is A to Z. An introduction into an Islamic lifestyle. Today's lesson, challenges of a family life. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In today's lesson, we will talk about the challenges of a family life. When we look at the family and the structure of the family, generally what we can see in the society is that people do not marry, they do not form a family. Why? Because they are not ready to cope with the challenges that they will face. And therefore, when they see the challenges in the family, when they see the responsibility and take being responsible for someone else, they run away from a bound which is known as marriage, and therefore they do not form a family. Even if two couples, they marry each other, they don't bring kids, they do not want to have children or kids. Why? Because the raising kids is a big challenge. They think it's a big challenge for them, and therefore for these difficulties, which they think are the difficulties, they think that they should not go for having children, or maybe they should not marry, even for those who are unmarried, who are single. But these things are not right, because this is something which has been injected through the Western society, through non-Islamic society, through the society which do not believe in God, which have no belief in God, which do not know how to manage a family. But Islam teaches us how to do this, inshallah. Welcome back. You're listening to A to Z from IRB English Radio. We were talking about the challenges in the Islamic lifestyle. And we said generally people do not marry because they think of challenges of raising kids, or maybe having responsibility of someone else when you get married. For example, husband is responsible for the wife, or it's vice versa. So they do not marry. Whereas when they look at the bound, they only see, unfortunately, a sexual relation, which they think that they can deal this relation with having the non or unlawful relation with someone else, especially in the non-Islamic society, where there is the the people can have, the boys can have girlfriends and the girlfriends can have boyfriends without having any bound, without being responsible of each other, in order to just have their lusts or to enjoy the life, they are choosing such thing. Islam is against this. In the Islamic lifestyle, the first thing is that if you are a man, be a man, take responsibility of your wife. If you are a woman, be a woman and take responsibility of your husband. And once we are the responsible people in this society, we need to show this kind of responsibility, or we need to show that we are responsible people, we are reasonable people, by having a lawful relation which is known as marriage, and to form family in order to show such responsibility. Inshallah, may Allah give us tawfiq to follow the right path, inshallah. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Thanks for listening to A to Z from IRB English Radio. For more information, visit our website at parstoday.com/EN Call of Islam page. Till another episode, God bless you all. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
is the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily, round the clock, for listeners across the globe. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard by the internet, shortwave radio, FM, and satellites. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave, 41 meters, 7,300 kilohertz, every day from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Europe can tune in to the English service of the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave, 49 meters, 6,040 kilohertz, and in Southern Africa via shortwave, 25 meters, 11,880 kilohertz, every day from 1920 to 2020. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our programs via FM 91.5 megahertz. You can also listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and Iransat or BAD 5, and via the internet. Our internet address is pasttoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, P.O. Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about our audio quality and other means. Thank you.
The medical device industry is the second most profitable global commercial enterprise. This is followed by oil, gas, and petrochemical sectors. Iran's healthcare system is far more modern than many might expect. From family planning to organ transplants and cosmetic surgery, the medical sector is progressive and advanced. Considered a high-tech industry, the medical device field is heavily regulated, with large investments going towards R&D activities. A lot happens behind the scenes before medical treatments reach a patient. Season's greetings and welcome to another edition of Bazaar. This time, we will venture through Iran's medical device industry while giving center stage to advanced laboratory technology. We'll take a look at some of the major players in this field, plus check out why this technology is important to the health sector. Moreover, we will uncover the contributions of this industry to the national economy. So, let's start the show. Our journey took us to a knowledge-based company that specializes in producing high-tech medical lab equipment and instruments. Noyan Negin Parsian was first established in 2006 with the goal of improving the quality of medical diagnosis and scientific advancement in labs. The ultimate objective is to improve the health of the patients.
I remember back then, since the 2007, it was around 14 years ago, the technology was not so fast in this area. So we have to seek for opportunities in order to work with the good brands. And from that time, our aim was to introduce the technologies that works in regarding of better diagnosis and also service better for the human beings. And from the very beginning, it was our aim in order to work in this field, and also it was the target to reach there.
This knowledge-based company began its activities in the field of research. Then it moved on to manufacturing and importing medical lab tech.
By working with very good brands, we were managed to introduce high-quality products, especially in the field of in vitro diagnostic devices and also reagents. And we introduced many big brands into this, system. And at that time, I remember there was very few suppliers in this case. But since the technology went through, and also the new platforms have been introduced to the society, the quality of the services also increased, and we were managed to adapt ourselves with the life and also with the performances of the devices that were offering to the human services.
Among its products, one can name controllers or diagnostic kits for infectious diseases and cancer. Plus, they make lab consumable products such as thinners and substrate liminal, which is a type of chemical that reacts to light as a byproduct. In short, this company has strived to automate manual systems in medical labs. Previously, most processes in labs were carried out by hand. This is both costly and time-consuming, with low output. Having numerous people working on one lab project also increases the margin of error, which is potentially detrimental to the final diagnosis of a patient.
Back then, I remember there was very, very few automatic systems. Everything was done by manual systems. I mean, when you go to the laboratory, you would find out that everything is done totally by manual systems. There has been some employees over there which were working just like shift by shift and process by process until a test has been done. And it was a very, very costly and also at the same time-taking, and also with a very, very low output. The results were not that accurate.
Importing medical products can rack up a mighty bill for labs. Importing processes and clearances can sometimes take months before critical products reach consumers. It's noteworthy that imports cost billions in capital flight. And more often than not, patients are the ones paying the high prices of these imports. With this in mind, many domestic manufacturers have stepped in to fill the market void and reduce dependency on imports. One of the main goals of this company is to indigenize local knowledge and technology by strengthening research and development. It has received its permits from the National Medical Device Directorate and the Ministry of Health and Medical Education.
So, finally speaking, I remember it was the year 2012 or 2013 that we found out some potential suppliers and started drawing out the requirements of what is the requirements of the market, what the customer is looking for, what they want from us, and how we can match their requirements with the potential suppliers, and how we can build this line in order to move this technology and transfer this technology back to Iran. It took a long time because we have got around, if I say correctly, two or three failures until we found out how we can reach to this technology in order to present it to the society of the laboratory and also diagnostic systems in Iran.
Among its competitive advantages, one can name the low cost of production relative to foreign brands. Additionally, it has access to advanced scientific knowledge and research that already exists within the country. Dependability and accuracy are key components that increase the quality of its products. And manufacturing them with precision and consistent quality is no easy task.
Well, the first thing talks in Iran is the quality. We never sacrifice the quality in comparison with anything else. Despite on pricing, performances, after sales, the quality talks first. Because we're dealing with something which in its platform and its results, the quality is the first thing that talks. If you go to a laboratory and you don't have quality, you have nothing. In other words, in laboratory, the performances and quality and the pricing are the things that go step by step. It means that you first need to have a quality, and then you need to have a performance, and later on you need to have a price. So
this knowledge-based company collaborates with academic institutions and research firms. Plus, it makes its products along the axis of exports. meaning all productions follow stringent national and international standards.
From 2015, everything was totally clear from us. The past was very clear, and we found that it's a very great opportunity in order to present the system. And officially, by the year 2017, we started launching a very, very fast, reliable platform that was working based on the chemiluminescence, and that platform was totally automatic. I mean, the majority of the process that you could see in the laboratories that has been done by manual back then in 2007, in 2015 was totally automatic. Everything, I mean, from the random access processes, by the assay menus, by the processing the human bloods and also serums, until getting the results and the other things. And it was very, very attractive for me because it was the first time that an Iranian company could manage to present this platform in a very, very reliable way. And it was, unlike the others, it was not, affected by the sanctions that we had.
This company stands on the cusp of exporting its products and has already begun sending samples to European markets. It is also open to cross-border collaborations, particularly with neighboring regions, as most of these nations share many of the same values and domestic demands.
From the very beginning, Nuyen has the eye of the exporting of the products. And I can say for sure, in comparison with the other international brands, we have got the advantages of the pricing. And if we keep the quality stable, definitely we would be the winner of the game. Definitely the safest way is not going far away. But we are a little bit aggressive in this case, and we started working with some countries in the Europe. We just sent samples over there in order to be performed, in order to be checked, and we also were participating in medical trade shows in order to show that we are also having the capabilities of doing the production, and we are a brand made in Iran, but we are also proud of being in Iran. We do not want to change something, we do not want to be faked. And we want to say that despite having a lot of troubles of sanctions, we are here, we are still alive, and we want to keep going forward.
At the height of the U.S.-imposed sanctions, Nuyen was taking big strides in advancing biotechnology products and other knowledge transfers. This company believes that with diligence and ingenuity, it can create exceptional opportunities despite challenges posed by the sanctions.
I do remember when the first sanctions happened, it was just like a shock to the society because everyone was locked. What to do, how to deal with these things, how to transfer the money, and so on. But we learned. We learned how to make the processes much more clear, how to find the balance between the supply and production, how to make the quality stable. I can say for sure, nobody can say the society is not affected by the sanctions. But the point is that we learned and we become strong. There's a saying that whatever doesn't kill you makes you strong. And it definitely makes the Iranian society strong because now, in comparison with, I can say 13 years ago, there are at least 100 times manufacturers in this field and they're trying to upgrade their quality. I do believe it's a beneficial advantage for the Iranian society. Otherwise, if you see that we are going back to the history on 2007, more than 95% of the consumption in the whole area of the laboratory has been imported from the outside. While now, I can say at least 60% has been manufactured, locally. And in comparison with the manufacturers that are located outside, our quality talks.
When the coronavirus broke out, domestic knowledge-based companies led the battle by expanding their production lines. All medicine used to treat COVID-19 have been manufactured domestically so far. This goes to show how the industry is on top of scientific developments. There are roughly 500 medical equipment manufacturers active in the country that produce tens of thousands of products. Here's more on the market. Iran has a robust industry for producing medical devices. The private sector has invested millions towards manufacturing in this field. The bulk of machine parts, including software, can be developed and engineered by domestic firms. It might be interesting to know that the domestic medical device market has grown by 9% since last year. This is why the global average growth was about 6%.
That's based on the Office of Medical Equipment at the Ministry of Health. Back in 2018, the National Medical Device Directorate estimated Iran's market in this field was worth nearly $3 billion. The exact figure for this year has not been updated, but it's likely to be much higher. According to the directorate, currently 105 Iranian types of medical equipment and products are exported to 55 countries worldwide, in which our diagnostic kits are at the top of the list with around 30% of the export market. Roughly 500,000 types of medical devices and equipment are made across the globe. Iran is able to domestically manufacture 56% of those available in the world. Important items such as vital sign monitors, operating room monitors, and incubators are among medical devices being exported to Asia-Pacific right now.
Medical devices are not the only products keeping the healthcare industry afloat. Pharmaceutical productions also greatly contribute to this sector. And the pharmaceutical industry is pulsing with new medicines each year. Some 3,000 medicines in thousands of variations are currently produced in Iran. There are some 120 pharmaceutical companies nationwide and around 70 units that specialize in producing raw material needed in this sector.
According to officials, pharmaceutical imports have dramatically dropped by 90% over the years. Domestically produced medicine has helped save the country billions. Iran reduced its currency flight from over $4 billion in 2017 to nearly half that number in 2020. That's going off of statistics from the Food and Drug Administration. Figures from the National Pharmaceutical Syndicate show Iran's domestic pharma market was worth $4.5 billion in 2021. 97% of the pharmaceuticals currently consumed in the country are also domestically produced, making the country nearly self-sufficient in this area.
All right, everyone, it is time for me to step aside for several minutes as my good friend and colleague is about to take you on another educational adventure. Enjoy.
The thirst of innovation over the last decades has led to tremendous developments in technology. One of these industries is software technology. Software development can improve the client's experiences and bring about significant changes in society.
Has it ever happened to you to go to a medical center to make an appointment and you had to stand in a long, boring queue? Or perhaps when you come to visit a doctor, you have to carry with you a bunch of papers to show your health record? That's absolutely exhausting. But when technological innovations find their ways into our lives, we no longer need these papers. Today we came to Pushan Tech Company to show you how technological innovations have changed the ways we deal with all these situations in medical centers. Could you please tell us about your company and what inspired you to run this business?
In 2016, we were a group of master students that need data for our thesis in the field of data mining in health systems. We went to Sarem Hospital and asked Dr. Sarem to give us some data. He accepted us with open arms and gave us what we need. We are so appreciative of him. But we found out that there is a big gap between IT and health industry. We recognize that in Iran, not only there are some weaknesses in IT-based technologies, but also we have really lack of data. And the second one has a very, very higher importance. A large part of collected data are not valid and nor usable. Therefore, in 2016, we started as a small team in Sarem Hospital and began developing software and collecting valid data. And first launch of our software was in 2017. After a few years, we developed our software and grew up. Then we officially found our company with brand of Kushan Tech and started marketing of our software products.
Choosing the latest software in the field of health This Iranian company aims to meet the software needs of hospitals to take steps towards improving the general health of the country. For many organizations, such as hospitals, reliable software is incredibly vital. For this reason, this Iranian company has designed electronic health records that meet customers' and hospitals' needs in the most efficient way possible. What makes electronic health records different from paper health records is the fact that it collects precise medical data on patients so doctors in different fields of expertise can develop a comprehensive view of the patient's health, therefore they can make a better decision. Electronic health record gives patients the chance to describe their situation in details, and it is not limited in time and space. This reduces medical errors, prevents missing of information, and lays the groundwork for analysis and research. I was wondering if you could tell us more about your software innovation.
We have several software in healthcare systems, including EHR or electronic health records, PACS, that is medical imaging technology, BI dashboard for hospital, LIS, which is about laboratory processes, and health ticketing, which includes ticketing and queue management. Now we are developing new software, adding new feature to and customizing our software, and also maintenance, support, and training of our products.
Innovation of electronic health records in this company has facilitated so many aspects of our medical encounters. In addition to patients' queue management, it has also found its way into laboratory, radiology, operation rooms, and it has also contributed to the treatment process and the overall management of hospitals. Well, as we could see, the EHR platform is integrated in different modules of the hospital software. One of these modules is PACS, which is a software for receiving radiology images and files and providing a quick accessibility in all medical centers. What makes your company different?
Let me categorize the advantages of our products. First is the clean and valid data feed to researchers in the field of health system. The second is paperless document. For example, we do not have any paper document in Sarem Hospital. It will save a large portion of cost and help the environment. The third is ease of use for physicians and patients. And the fourth is better diagnosis for physicians. They can see the whole story of a patient by one click. In summary, our products reduce costs and increase efficiency and performance of hospitals.
Another significant dimension of this innovation is health ticketing and queue management in medical centers. All steps from admission to visit are done automatically. And this results not only in the improvement of the general health, but also in the customer satisfaction. Do you have any bright plan for the future?
Kushantech is going to have a comprehensive EHR system all over Iran, so that any Iranian be able to access their medical data easily, and also assist physicians to reach better diagnosis by use of artificial intelligence on valid data. In a nutshell, Kushantech wants to create a decision support system or DSS for health system. In order to achieve this important goal, we need assistance of medical institutes, hospitals, and of course the government.
At the end of the day, what is so valuable about this innovation is saving our precious time and money, and also, of course, at the same time, protecting the environment.
We have come to the end of this edition. I'll see you next time. And until then, stay safe and bye-bye.
We are near the end of our program, but before we go, let's take a look at some interesting news and trends in Iran's medical sector. After mourning the loss of his leg, an Iranian inventor decided to create his own prosthetic knee in order to stay active. And this is when the Technology Center for People with Different Lifestyles was born. The startup was established in the incubation center of Iran's University of Medical Sciences. The prosthetic knee is suitable for people with amputations above the knee. It's strong enough to be used in vigorous sports such as running and cycling too. The developer says the most important feature of this product is its low price relative to foreign brands. As the medical device and pharmaceuticals industry grows inside the country, it is also expanding operations beyond Iran's borders. Now, talks are being held between Iraqi and Iranian officials to increase the presence of Iranian knowledge-based companies in Iraq. An official with the Iraqi Innovation Fund says Iranian knowledge-based companies should be present in Iraq. The official added that this would help increase trade relations. Knowledge-based companies in the fields of oil, gas, pharmaceuticals, and medical devices are among those that were discussed. The hope is to establish a permanent Iranian exhibition in these fields of activity in Iraq's Kirkuk province. The production of medical devices in Iran goes back to centuries ago and has a rich history. This is why the National Museum of Iran put on a unique virtual exhibit showcasing centuries-old Iranian medical equipment. The display was held on the National Day of Doctors, which marks the birthday of Avicenna, who is regarded as the father of early modern medicine. The online exhibit was also carried out in a bid to commemorate the enormous sacrifices Iranian healthcare workers have made during the coronavirus pandemic. We are fresh out of time for our program today. Happy New Year to you all, and thank you for tuning in. Stay safe.
This is the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1920 to 2020 UTC on the following frequencies. Shortwave 49 meters, 6040 kilohertz for Europe, and 25 meters, 11,880 kHz for Southern Africa, and FM 91.5 MHz for Tehran. You can also listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and Iransat or Bat 5, and via the internet. Our internet address is pastorday.com/en. And now, you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. We'll be right back.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.